We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Got the whole team back together. Andrew is back in. He took yesterday off. Get some beauty treatments. You look great. Amy's back. Good to see you.
Hello.
Good, good. Well, it didn't take us long to fall right back into it, did it?
The show hadn't even started yet. And we're already like, boom!
For some reason, we're talking about fighting big guys. And I'm talking about fighting Matt Pauly or Bo Matthews, and you know, Wheeler's like, hit him low. And
well, I mean, let's be honest, that's all I really have.
And then, how are you going to hit him high?
I know.
Ronji and I settled on, if we're getting a fight with a much larger man, we're just going to lick his neck.
Yeah. Ronj, what's your superhero name now?
Oh, yeah, I'm called the Nibbler. So, you don't want to fight me.
Look, if I'm
don't fight me, I nibble.
If I'm beating the hell, if I'm beating the hell out of a littler guy, and he starts licking my neck. It's going one of two ways.
Matt Pauly's going to come in today with his head on a swivel.
He's going to come out with a neck brace. Can't get it.
He'd be like, Ronji's not still here, is he?
And then Amy told a super disturbing story about her brother, and we all kind of threw up a little in our mouth. We're like, time and place, Amy. But it reminded me of, to me, real life was grade school. Everything since then has just been a farce. Like, I lived my life in grade school. I loved, I lost. You know, it's like, it just everything was just so much more important than it is now. And there was this kid, still remember him. His name was Lloyd or Floyd Rapien. I hope he hasn't passed away just because I'm about to crap on him. But he...
Well, this is a better time to do it if he's dead.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
He was the kid who...
You didn't have to give the first and last name.
No.
Hey, maybe the guy deserves it.
He said Floyd or Lloyd.
When you hit 23 years doing this, you can give me advice on that. It adds to it. Floyd Rapien. Like, that was his name.
I mean, it's right there in the name.
That was my brother's name. He had white hair. Maybe albino, I'm not sure, ish. But he looked like a 68-year-old man. And he always wore a white T-shirt, like a white beater T-shirt with ketchup on it. And he talked like this. He's in third grade, and he talked like this. Floyd Rapien. Floyd Rapien. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm Floyd Rapien. You get over here. I'm going to kick your ass. Floyd Rapien. And I was terrified. Terrified of him. And he was about half my size, but I didn't care. Like, I was just Floyd Rapien. But he was the kid who could, like, dislocate his shoulder, turn his eyelids inside out, which is currency in third grade.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. That's why you were afraid of him, probably.
If you're that guy, well, it was just added to his legend.
Okay.
Just added to the mystique.
That guy's not dead. He is sitting on a porch somewhere.
Unkillable.
Petting a dog that may or may not be his. Just a bit like the neighborhood dog, right? And the dog's got one eye. That guy's going to be alive forever.
I bet I could, if we had about 90 kids, like three levels, like three third grade classes, I bet I could come close to naming every single kid.
Really?
Yeah. Just because, I don't know, it was just such a, I was so engaged.
So was it every year? Because now, like, I went to traditional school for kindergarten and first grade. And in kindergarten, I can't think of like a single kid's name. But in first grade, I remember their names, their faces, kind of where they sat. Mm. And you would think there would be crossover, right, from kindergarten to first grade. But for some reason, I have no distinct memories of kindergarten. But first grade, I remember.
I was telling the guys yesterday, I was visiting my mom, got her some food, took a wrong turn, ended up taking a little spin around my high school and junior high. So then when I got into South Lake Santa, I went around my grade school. Like, I'm already on memory lane. Let's go ahead and do it by myself. Like, one time years ago, I took the kids, probably 5 years ago. And I thought, I mean, I apologize. At least I can admit it, how cocky and much hubris this is. But I was driving them around my old grade school like it's Lincoln's house or something. Like, right there's where I had first grade. Take pictures if you like. And they could not have cared less. They could not have been more bored. And one of them said something to that effect. I was like, what?
You were insulted.
Like, of course. I mean, who freaking cares where their dad went to grade school?
No, but it's exciting to you on the inside. Nobody else cares about it. And I get that, too, where I'm like, oh, I used to live in this building. Like, I don't know who cares where you used to live. I don't care.
Yeah. Tell me more. What floor?
But, Dave, what about, you know, all of your past lives and phases? Is it weird that your kids didn't know that version of you? And I say that because my dad was like a huge soccer player, right? That was his whole life. My mom dating him when they first got married, it was all soccer, college soccer. We didn't see any of that. Yeah. By the time I was born, you know, his college career was over. And she said, it's so weird that you don't see your dad as that soccer player. What about the different stages of your life?
It is weird. My kids know about them. Like, I, you know, pretty openly talk about him. They've seen pictures and such. We're talking about Phoebe coming to DGS Live. Because, you know, she's seen the Dave Glover show since day one. But she hasn't seen me perform. It's been a long time since she's seen me sing. But it's dirty. Like, DGS Live is dirty, but she's going to be 18 in a couple months. And again, she's my daughter. So, but yeah, just talking about, I don't want her to never see me perform, if that makes sense. Again, it's not like she's like, oh God, what if dad dies? I didn't see him perform. Like, again, I have a false sense of importance, even with my kids. That reminds me, too. My mom reminded me of this because the kids always call me, like, Malibu Dave because I'm, you know, oh, you were this guy, then you're that guy, then you're that guy, like a Barbie.
Put different
outfits on him. And my mom goes, oh, remember the box of hats? And as soon as she said it, I did. I would sit there like every other kid, just glued to the television, and I had a box full of hats. And I would change hats with each show. So I had, like, a cowboy hat. I had, for some reason, an airline pilot hat. I had a football helmet. I had a baseball. I had, like, a dozen hats, coonskin cap. And I would just – I wouldn't even, like, look away from the screen. I would just reach in, find it, put it on.
Davy Crockett's on.
Yeah.
It's kind of role-playing while you're
like
watching.
How I used to put on my little old-timey dress when I would sit and read Little House on the Prairie. It just kind of helps you get in the mood for
– Well, let's not rush
that
through
is
this one.
So adorable.
Talk about this on
what?
The show. Rachel? When I was reading Little House on the Prairie, I had like a little old-timey dress and it had rabbits on it. And I would be like, I'm going to read my books. And I would change into my clothes. And it's just helps you set the scene.
I love that
so much.
See,
we're almost the same person.
Except when Rachel describes it, it seems like a totally normal thing.
And then I know.
When it's like when I'm telling you, like, oh, yeah, I sat there in my Ultraman underoos. I sound like a total idiot. Because I was, though. I feel lucky. My kid's lucky. She actually saw the whole thing.
What do you
like
mean?
I'm the same as I was when I was 15. So
you're the same as you were when you were 1 minute.
I know, this is great. I don't feel like she's missed anything.
Yeah,
she's like, nope, I saw all that, dummy.
I got a compliment from Wheeler today.
Oh. Tell me more.
Tell him about it. You found those pictures.
Oh, you guys, did you see the pictures of grade school? Right, you were like eighth grade, maybe ish. Long flowing blonde hair, like it was. I mean, what did I say? You got a great flow.
Mm-hmm.
He had great flow, and back then all I had was like a tumbleweed on my head. It was like everywhere.
Like the old Ronald McDonald.
And he's got flow, man. I mean, that was like awesome. That was a good head of lettuce.
You are literally the first person, and I'm not exaggerating, to ever compliment my hair.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, after the show, when you're done, go into his office. You can see
I'm going as soon as
they're right on
happens.
The microwave. I was like,
they're right on the microwave.
The microwave? What do you mean?
In his office.
Okay. This is a Dave issue. Like, he brings in these like cherished artifacts from his childhood, and then he stores them like on top of microwaves or like under tables and things. Well, and he's like, where's all
there's
my
a bunch
stuff?
Of them. And I'm like, because you always describe yourself as like a dork. It didn't look like a dork to me. You're like a normal dude with a good flow going.
But also, I can't get past it. Like, I know things are going really well for Dave. He's been around 20-something years, 23 years. I didn't know he had a microwave in his office. I didn't know they were going that great.
Yeah, we don't tell people so they won't use it.
We're all sharing one little fridge with a shelf.
To be honest, we have two. One for me, one for them. So.
I wouldn't let them use it either. Especially not Andrew.
How's your day off?
It was pretty good.
Pretty good. I went and saw my friends and their two kids that I never get to see because they have two kids, and they work like different shifts because they don't want to pay for childcare.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, that,
it was
that
nice
tracks.
To. Yeah, it was nice to finally get them together and see the little tiny babies.
And you listened to the show for a little bit?
I did.
It's always weird, isn't it?
It's super, super weird. And I would find myself like contributing almost. I would find myself being like, ha, heard that. And it's like, nope, you're driving in a car. You're not there.
So it felt exactly the same with nobody responding?
Wow.
I'm kidding. I love you.
I called you a,
I'm kidding. You did. What did you call me earlier?
I don't remember. Amy, what did I call
you? It was very mean.
A pile of garbage.
Yeah, wow. In confidence to Amy. And then she immediately was like, hey, guess what Andrew said? And I was like, all right, that's not the whole thing.
Why did you call him a pile of garbage?
Yeah, why did you call me
back?
A pile of garbage?
And when were you like, I think Randy's a pile of garbage?
I was in the room,
like,
too.
What's the context of whispering to Amy?
I was talking to...
I think Randy's been replaced with a bunch of garbage.
Garbage, yep. That's fine. I was talking to Tyler, didn't hear it.
It was a... We were... We were talking about how much we missed Chris Meinl.
And I turn around and I got to look at this pile of garbage.
Damn.
No, because you led me with something worse. You were
you
like,
did?
Yeah, you were like this.
Amy.
This piece of pile.
And you filled it in.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, this pile of garbage over here.
Wow.
Oh.
I see where I stand. I already knew
we
it.
We don't have to put Chris down to lift the other Chris up.
That's right. You have to blow out my candle
to make yours burn. Right? When you blow out all the other candles, your candle, everyone's looking at your candle. You're the only candle left.
Hello.
I think it works.
Wow.
Amy's going to kill us all one day.
I'm fascinated by Amy.
She's really something, isn't she?
Obviously, they're like, you know, your candle doesn't burn any brighter. I'm like, but it kind of does. It's the perception of brightness because all the other candles are out.
I think Jesus said that.
If you stomp all over the little people, your shoes don't get dirty is all I'm saying. Yeah.
Wow.
Thou shalt be the last candle burning.
You know, Michael Kelly has decided that Amy is... It's the best cover for a special agent, a secret agent of some kind. Because you would never think, a real spy would be this, right? So it's the perfect cover. Then maybe when she's out of town running.
Right.
That's a mission. And she's probably got to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you would never suspect this person of doing anything to you.
Mm-mm.
Not like that.
No.
No, not like, no.
It's because I'm, like, kind of nice, but also incompetent. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you were nice and
kind of what Ronj was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, I think sometimes maybe people thought you were just saying because I'm nice, but it's because I'm incompetent.
You're not that nice.
Would you fake?
I like to think that I'm faking it because it makes me feel less incompetent.
The onion's beginning to peel.
Like, dang it, they're onto me.
What is the thing that you say? Do you think of all things I choose this?
Yeah,
what is that for?
Like, oh, you're a poser. I'm like, a poser?
That's right.
You think if I were posing, this is what I would choose? This is what I would pretend
she
to
makes,
be?
She makes
That's
a good
a
argument.
Point.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
good
think
cover,
so,
though.
Buddy.
Good cover.
No, I feel that.
Yeah.
Same with me. Like, oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to do is be 58 wiping my butt on the towel still. So it's like,
wait, what?
Nothing. It's something my mom says.
Not important.
Never. Oh,
you know. Didn't hear important. Anything.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Who can afford toilet paper, right?
She missed yesterday Dave telling us he almost had an accident.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, where?
No, not almost.
No, that was a full-on
accident.
That
was a full-on accident, but it was in, like, third grade
that
or something.
Yeah. But, you had the... I gotta go older than that, right?
I'm in a constant state of almost having...
Have you ever seen him just rush out of the room?
Do you know how many laxatives I've taken in the past 10 years?
Oh,
my gosh.
I didn't realize when you got into your late 50s, you needed to go all the time anyway.
Be real. Did you almost have one earlier in the office? Because you were, like, out of there.
No, but that's a rarity that I know.
Wow. I think every time it happens to somebody, everybody has the exact same thought. It's, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I gotta
go. It's just that all lowercase, like, oh, no.
I had this one happen, too.
Oh, no, something's happened.
I mean, you have to, like, work in the similar-sized office to get this. But I was just an hour ago in the bathroom doing my business. Someone came in to go pee. And it used to be I would hide in there like a squirrel with his nuts.
I still do.
Until spring came.
Yep.
But I'm like, whatever, you're a grown man. You can let this gentleman see who it was. So I step out, and it's Master Wheeler.
Yes.
And
oh, that was you.
Yeah. So I had to make a decision. Like, do I go, hey, Wheels, or do I sneak out? So I did in between, which is never good. Never good. So I did this. I did this. And I'm walking out, I just go, oh, yo, I just made a sound. One human acknowledging another.
I know that move.
Turned the water on, but didn't wash.
Oh, what the hell?
And now we know Wheeler didn't even know that was you.
No,
so he's like, who made that noise?
I had a suspicion with the knock, knock, knock.
As soon as I walked out, I'm like, stupid, stupid. Daddy comes home. 124 DGS. All right. I really don't understand something that I probably should. But again, it helps when you're a talk show host, especially on a show like this, to put aside your embarrassment. We all know, like, eggs are super expensive. It's a big story right now. $10 a dozen, $11 a dozen some places. We went through the whole gas thing with oil. You know, the price of the barrel of oil is $130 instead of $80, blah, 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 blah. And then I read today that egg guys are making the biggest profits ever. And Exxon and all the oil guys made the biggest profits ever. Someone explain to me why that is, because I thought, let's say it cost me $5 to produce a dozen eggs, and it used to cost me $3. So you see what I'm saying? I'm too dumb to even explain it. Like, why isn't it just the same profit? Why are you bending us over just because it costs more? Is supply and demand, is it just that simple that they can? That there are fewer eggs and therefore the price is up, but they're still paying the same amount for them, and so they're making more money?
I do believe it's as simple as they can do it and they can get away with it and nobody's going to stop them.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to give them some humanity they don't have.
Yes. I saw, this was a couple weeks ago, it's not eggs, but I think it was one of the soft drink companies. There was like a conference call with investors or something, and they're like, yeah, I mean, we can set the price at whatever we want. People are going to pay for it. And so we have all whatever costs we have. We don't have to worry about going too high on the price. We can pretty much do what we want.
And now you have a built-in excuse.
Right.
If you're
right.
them, you can just say it's inflation and it's somebody else's fault that there's inflation, not ours. We have to do what we have to do. We're a business. Sorry. So you have this built-in excuse, which is perfect. It gives you deniability, but clearly they are responsible for it, at least in part.
Good point. Between COVID and inflation, which I'm sure are related in some ways, we rarely question it. This is the first time I've said anything on the air about anything like this because it just hit me. But you're right. We all just go, well, yeah, you can't help that, can you?
Yeah. And then you never blame the business in charge. You never blame the people in charge of the business. Never. It's always something else.
Yeah.
It's always an outside factor. Well, I got to do what I got to do, you know, running a business here. So we have to make these sacrifices. But it's nonsense.
Which
and I don't know why we don't look at these people and look at their profits and look at CEOs' compensation and watch it skyrocket and not go, wait a minute,
but what
how is
we
that
do?
Possible?
I mean, the only thing we can do is just not buy those things.
Or we can acknowledge it at least and stop trying to blame all these other things instead of some of the people who are actually responsible
like
for
I
it.
I get why my buddy Chris over at Chris's at the docket, Chris's Pancakes as I call it, like, the price of eggs have gone up for him.
Yeah.
So I get it if he has to charge me 10-20% more for an omelet. I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't get why the egg guy who's selling them to Chris is making a killing just because they're scarce. I guess
because
I do. I guess I'm answering my own question.
It's simply, yeah, it's the under the guise of well, we have to raise prices. So if you have to raise them 20 cents, you raise it 50 cents because you can.
Because you can.
Because you got the cover for doing it. You've got the excuse built in. And most people won't even ask. They won't be like, huh, I wonder why this is more. People are going to be like, oh, inflation. And then they'll say, damn it, to whoever the president is or whoever they didn't vote for or whatever. It's their fault. Yeah. And instead of it going, you know what? That really should have only gone up 20%, but it went up 50%. Maybe there's an issue here.
Where's the egg council when you need them? Remember those guys
when
we were kids? I thought that would be my job for a long time. I really did.
You're going to run the egg council?
When I was watching, it just sounded so authoritative. Like, you're watching TV and it's Gilligan's Island, and then they're like, brought to you by the egg council. I'm like, that sounds like an important job.
Well, they're stationed in the UN, right?
Yes. Let's consult, see if the egg council has a veto.
Like, but who among us can say, oh, you know, the wholesale value of an egg is this, and this is what it's been in the past. I have no idea what an egg is worth wholesale.
At least wings are cheaper now.
Like, you could charge, like you said, there's a huge window that the egg people could charge.
The incredible edible egg.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
You convinced me. She's a hired killer.
Yeah.
Told you.
Only a true Jason Bourne would go so over the top with, does anybody know what a wholesale egg costs? Because me don't know.
It's like undercover Buscemi. Hello, fellow kids.
Me no kill people.
This is the coolest I've ever felt.
Keep up the act, Amy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
134 DGS. So I wanted to talk about this next topic with everyone in the room, and I feel like this is a good one. Yeah, you get those, you're like, yeah, this is a good one. Because we talk every day to some extent about society and what's happening with society. Sometimes it's about politics, sometimes it's about, you know, social media, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of struck me last night, this morning, I forget, but you've got progressives and you have conservatives, and in kind of the classic sense, one side is like, it used to be better back then, put on the brakes, we're getting off the goofy crap meter. The other side is, in general, stereotypically, like, the past was terrible, let's go forward because we got to get to a better place. And what I was thinking about was, I'm not sure the first one ever happens. I can't think of a time in history, maybe you guys can, where we really did go backwards. Like, wow, we've gotten, I know, like, we've changed laws and stuff, but like society in general, I can't remember a time, even just historically, when you go, wow, look at that. They shifted back 30 years and they kind of got it back on the rails. And it certainly hasn't happened to my knowledge in my lifetime. And so we can have these fights and you can say this and you can say that. You can say anything you want if it makes you feel better. But isn't the truth that it's almost impossible for a society of like 350 million people to really go backwards? Now, you can stop doing stupid stuff, but I'm not sure you're ever going to recapture what you think was the magic moment. You're going forward. And maybe you can get some of your ideas on the agenda going forward, but you need to give up going backwards. That's my first point. So before I get to my second one, let me throw that out on the table and see what you guys think of that. Is that smart or is that dumb? Is it true or is it not so true?
Feels dead on to me.
Yeah, I think it's been shown to be true. I mean, cat's out of the bag.
And by the way, I'm not saying, like, Republicans are stupid because blah. I'm just saying, like, wait a second. It's almost like a human life. I can make myself look younger, but I'm never going to be younger.
That's what it is. That's what the world, that's what the society is. It's a life. I mean, it's not one individual life, but I mean, technology's not going backwards. We're not putting all of that away.
We're moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's just, since, we're just talking yesterday with the guy from Kansas. I mean, for 300,000 years, humans have gone forward. They don't go backward. There are things you can stop in time. There are things you can try to change or adjust, but you definitely can't reverse most of what's happened because most people have, I mean, we think about the younger, a generation younger than you. So Rachel and Andrew, compared to you and I, what they've experienced, they didn't experience anything,
yeah.
You know, from the time that we were, what, 20 and younger.
So for them, it's literally history. It's recent history,
yeah.
But it's still history.
Right.
I think I wouldn't look at it as it would be a misconception that conservatives want to go backwards. Here's what I mean. We have seen societies go backwards. We saw that a year ago in Afghanistan with the Taliban. They actually went backwards far as women's rights. In Iran, after the Islamic Revolution, Iran went backwards. If you look at Iran in the 70s and before the revolution, we saw that culture go backwards as far as individual rights go, specifically women's rights. With American conservatism, and it's important to note that because conservatism is the only political philosophy that is purely contextual. It's what are you conserving? With conservatism, it is saying, looking at the current state of the country, and it goes, this is what's working. This is what has worked. Here's we need to get better. Let's build on the good. Progressivism a lot of times looks and says, sees what's wrong and said, this isn't perfect. This has failed so many people. Let's dismantle and start over. And that's the difference. Conservatism is generally building on what has worked to go forward. Progressivism is generally tearing down what has been and going a new direction to go forward.
Right, but tearing down what they see as not working, not just tearing down the whole thing.
Sometimes the whole thing, sometimes quite literally.
But there are people on the very extreme.
Yeah, but none of those people are. Yeah, none of those things ever happen, right? I mean, it's
nobody takes anarchists seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, dismantle the system, right? I mean, that's, you know,
yeah, nobody
that's
really
a big statement. But yeah, even in progressivism, it's generally looking towards an ideal saying, hey, this hasn't worked. We're going to try something new. Whereas conservatism is saying this part is working. Let's build on it.
I think with the modern conservative, and I'm not saying that the traditional conservative like you are, I'm saying the modern conservative, I believe, is found, and I'm talking about people in office or people trying to be in office. I do believe that some of them believe the things they say, but I do believe that there's also this, they've found a way to tap into a lot of older people's desire to go back to when they feel like things were great. Because when you're younger, everything is awesome when you're young. So you just assume, well, why can't we just go back to that time?
I mean, look,
when I was younger.
It was in the anagram. Make America great again, if it had stopped being. That's not the idea of taking what's good now and making it better. It is what is now is not good enough.
Whatever,
we need to go back to something else.
So I think it's just what they've it's a tactic to tap into people that really want things to be better. We all want the same thing. We all want improvement. But for a lot of people out there, their idea of improvement is, well, things were pretty good when I was 20. Things were pretty good when I was 30 years old. So maybe that's what we should be going back to, not realizing there was a lot of good back then.
Realizing, listening to you guys talk, what I'm realizing about my initial thought, and I bet a lot of people are like me, is that when I think about politics, I almost never really think about anything but culture wars. Because
right.
We don't really seem to do anything else. Like, I can understand that if conservatives said, you know, the economy XYZ, the stock market ABC, blah, 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 it was better under Reagan. It was better under Trump. You guys are foolish with our money. We're going back to fiscal responsibility. That I get. And that I don't consider to be going backwards anyway. It's simply making a strategic choice. I'm always thinking culturally. Mm-hmm. But the reason I'm always thinking culturally is because that's all we really It's all we're really, really fed.
It's what makes people angriest.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Amy's, the way Amy described it, I would like to see that we could do both things. Find the things that we like and that work and find ways to keep them going, but then also take the things that are not working and improve them. And I think the ideal would be that we have both conservative and liberal ideologies working together.
Which we could.
And because I think there are valid ideologies that can improve things across the board if you're going to be willing to take two things at once and not just my thing versus another thing.
I think the problem is, though, since we are so immersed in the culture war, like, we've been told that if you're a conservative and you want to preserve the way things are, you can't let anything, like, you can't just do that for yourself. You have to make sure everyone else is on the same page, or else it can infringe on what you're trying to do. And on the other hand, if you're progressive, you're like, if you're extremely progressive, it's like, well, I can't let them preserve this way of life because that is, you know, you're mired in the old ways and I'm not able to move forward at that point. So there's this clash of like,
there's
we
really
can't
no
have
live
it,
and let live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Or that's what we're told anyway. Like, I'm not saying that's the truth, but that's what we're being fed on cable news every day.
Another good point. Okay. Here's my second thought. So this came to me when I was watching TikTok, and it's MLK Day yesterday. And so there's a lot of stuff about that. And they had an interviews with people who look like they're in their 70s in the South in like the early 60s. So you know where it's going. And like an old couple, and they're talking about race relations. And the old lady was like, well, I say stay on your side of the fence. I'll stay on mine. It's all going to be happy, happy. And the husband just like nodding along and stuff. And that seems so monstrous to us now, right? And like, that was just a few years before I was born. It wasn't ancient history. And then you go back a couple hundred years, and these brilliant, amazing people who founded our country, many of them owned humans. Mm-hmm. So my question is, are we just completely fooling ourselves if we think that had we been 78 in 1958, we wouldn't have been talking like that lady? Or had we been a 40-year-old white man in 1768, that we wouldn't have owned slaves? Are we just fooling ourselves? Because I say that to myself. I say, well, I would have never done that. I would have seen through that no matter what age I was, because that's so clearly wrong. But is that just silly?
Well, I hope that I wouldn't be that way, because clearly there were people at that time who thought it was wrong what we were doing at that time, which is why we continued to move forward away from it. I would like to think that I would be one of those people. I can't tell you with 100% certainty, depending on the environment I grew up in, who my family was, if my family owned people. Like, I have no idea how I would be, but I just
clarify.
Yeah.
Cause you're helping me to hone in. It's not so much about me or Chris. It's more about me being amazed that just 65 years ago, so many Americans, probably the majority, were like, yeah, separate but equals cool.
Because you had so much more cover to be that way. It was just, that was just the way
the culture was.
And you didn't know any better.
But it was also progress from what it was.
Good point.
It was a lot better than when you're just lynching people in the streets or when you actually own them. No. Yeah. But I mean, these changes don't happen.
In a snapshot, they're thinking we're really progressive.
We've come in their minds at that time. You're thinking, man, look at where we were 50 years ago and now where we are. And I think we're kind of doing the same thing, right? We look back at that time. We're like, all right, look how far we've come. But somebody 50 years from now is going to look at us and be like, dang, they could have been better. At a whole lot of things, we're not just talking about race. But
that's why I love doing that. Yeah. I wouldn't have had that thought.
Yeah.
That's a really smart thought. That to them, they were a part of progress.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the founding fathers and we see the stains of our history and the egregious sins, right? And many of them were slave owners. And you look at them in context on their whole idea of the rights of the individual in the time of the divine right of kings. They were radically progressive for their time. And I think what's so interesting is because history is the most like offensive book ever written, right? It's just gross and politically incorrect and awful and full of hypocrisy. That's history. That's human existence on this earth. And when you look at the history of our country and the legacy of 1619, right, and slavery in our country. Then you look at the document produced in 1776. I don't look at 1776 and say, that's a lie, it was all a cover. What I say is 1776 highlighted the irreconcilable tension between 1619, right, and how we really didn't see all individuals as humans and having rights, with the principles of a document greater than the men who wrote it. And that irreconcilable tension ultimately ended decades later with the end of slavery. It was like a working out of what those principles meant.
It was progress.
Principles were so progressive at the time, yeah, that even the men who wrote them didn't apply them fairly or rightly, but they were there and they still stood true.
It was progress. It wasn't perfect, but it was better than what it was before. And that's why when you said the thing about progressivism earlier, I don't think... Like I am progressive. I don't consider, I don't think that everything should be perfect, but I think that it should be better than what it is, and we should try to make things better than what they are. And that's the same thing as what they did when they founded the country with the Declaration of Independence, mm-hmm, and then moving forward with the Constitution. They weren't perfect, but they were getting better. Mm-hmm. They were saying, we're going to get better than what it was because it can be better than what it was.
And they obviously set up a framework where you could get better, because that document a couple hundred years later is what we use to create the Civil Rights Act and make things better.
Yeah.
And all the different things that have happened since then are based on that framework that those people did a couple hundred years
ago. There has to be a recognition that it's not great and it can be better. But some people, I think, believe everything's fine the way it is now. Stop messing with stuff.
Yeah. 152 DGS, if I may be so bold as to compliment ourselves, that was a really good discussion. And Wheels, you said something very interesting on the break. Do you remember what you're talking about?
Yeah, essentially that on a day-to-day basis, we all do the things that we're trying to talk about. Like you're working with, living next to, living with, hanging out with people of all that are span the spectrum, right? Super conservative, super liberal, right down the middle, whatever. I mean, like, and we all do work on projects together or do something at work together, and it's productive and we compromise, we do all these things. We do not hold our leaders to that standard, though. They're the ones that ramp everything up. They're the ones that use it to get elected or to fire you up. But day to day, I think we do that.
And you know what? It doesn't even have to be culturally. I think we all do that culturally. But and we have a perfect business. When I came in 2000 doing this, oh, my God, was it different. It was just radio. There was no digital anything. And there were no podcasts. There were 30 stations I had to beat to be number one. And that was it. 23 short years later, now there's digital everything. There's 4 million podcasts. It's a different world. Pardon me. I'll never forget. It's been 12 years ago, maybe 15, a bunch of radio salespeople who were like the OGs. They're the ones making all the money. And this first time anyone ever said the word digital. And they're like, here's what it is. You're all going to have a digital budget. And like three or four of these people got together, literally in a little huddle. And they came out and they're like, we're not going to do it. This is stupid. And we're radio sales and we're not this and this and this. They're not in the business anymore.
Mm.
And so not only do we have to handle things like what's your pronoun, but like the world changes. And you either adapt and try to inject a little of what made it good from the past. But I think our business is a really great one to look at and say, yeah, this is the kind of the way it works. But you're right. We don't have a choice in our personal lives.
Oh, nothing gets done if we don't all just hang. I don't even just mean do work projects together, hang out together. You go to a party. I don't know the political leanings of anybody that I'm with, and I don't care. Like, we're going to find a way to have a good time. That's what we're there for. We're not. We will find a way to get the thing done, whatever. It's fun, whether it's what we do here. I mean, look at in our building, how many people have different viewpoints on social issues, politics, whatever. Somehow, some way, though, we make it work and we do a good job on the air.
Is it as simple as normal people using us as an example personally and in our business? We're not rewarded for causing trouble. We're rewarded for getting along, compromising, and coming up with an end product, whereas the politicians, it's the opposite. that it used to be that that's what they were rewarded for. Well, what have you done for a district? Can you reach across the aisle? Now, unless I'm just buying into a narrative, it seems both sides are rewarded for being as intransigent as possible.
Well, for the politicians, yeah, they are rewarded for being adversarial more than like, hey, how can I say this all the time. Like what I think a politician should do is improve people's lives as best they can. It's not totally on them, but what other reason are you in office than to do things that help people? You're there to help people. But right now we have an environment where you can do your thing and you can make your scene and you can say something ridiculous. Then you can go to the network later that is on your side and score some points because you know they're going to play your stuff over and over again. You know they're going to be like, oh, look at what this guy did and he owned the other person. It's a game
now.
So
in most of our lives, the product is more important than the process. And for politicians, for the most part, it's the opposite. Are we being fair about that? Or
yeah, but the media environment is different now. It's more skewed to make it an us versus them thing than it was 30 years ago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.